T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Second down and 17. Back at the 18, and McKissick, the running back, takes the handoff.
Wow.
And Jalen Smith just knocked him back to Ann Arbor.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. We got Mickey Spagnola joining us right now. In about 15 minutes, we'll have Stephen Jones hopping on with us. Mickey brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. And Mickey, how spoiled is the DFW area to have the Brad Sham and Eric Nadell on the broadcast here in this area?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And all those guys that do the other teams, they're really top notch. And if you travel around the country and hear what some of these other guys do, you'll realize what a treat that the Cowboys, the Stars, and Mavericks and Rangers really have with those guys doing the games.
Which city would most make me realize that, you suppose?
Oh, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, probably the most I've heard is New York, but that's just a whole different market, right?
Yes.
The abrasiveness is a little bit different. Because I was listening to some of those playoff games with the Yankees on the radio. And while I was driving around, and the guy who was doing it was like, I don't know, he was acting like he was above the fray. Like, you know, I guess I have to do these games, and, you know, and there was no emotion whatsoever. I can't pick one out, but I've heard it and go, boy, we're lucky.
It was worth a shot.
And I'll tell you what, and I guarantee you that J.D. McKissick won't do that jump cut again.
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
Because that's what he was trying to do on that, right? He was going to jump cut and go the other way, and he got hit in midair. And it's like, okay, that jumping doesn't work in the NFL, by the way.
I think one thing that everybody can agree on is whenever some of these guys on this defense hit, it is like they can hit, man. And we always go back with Roy Williams. He could lay the wood, but then could he cover? And I wonder, how is it more complex than just they're not filling their gaps on the defense, or they're getting beat? What are you seeing from this Cowboys defense that can't slow the run as much as they want?
Well, first of all, I don't know that they're doing a good job up front of keeping the offensive linemen off the linebackers. And then at other times, it's, you know, you're filling the wrong hole. You know, I don't know if you're guessing or you're fouling your keys and you're getting fooled, but there's too many wide open spots for that to happen. And you just got to be better at it. Now, you know, I know the Lions ran for 121 yards, but 51 of those was the quarterback. You know, either running for safety or they run bootlegs, keepers, and read options, and he's keeping the ball. You know, and I know Bo Scarborough had 55 yards on 14 carries. But again, it is the NFL. You're not going to just totally shut everybody down. But if you take away the quarterback's runs, you know, you gave up 170 yards rushing. I mean, 70 yards rushing, excuse me. So you could live with that. But there was too many kind of big plays. Like they had Scarborough had the 23-yard run, and then Driscoll had a 23-yard run. And, those are the things you got to eliminate.
Yeah, and I guess that's just the, you know, you kind of look at the entire season and it's just a compilation of one after another. It feels like the Cowboys have been gutted a couple times.
And they've lost
because
of it. And that's been, you know, that's kind of been their downfall, is when they don't stop the run, they generally get beat. And that goes back to last year. You know, I keep bringing up the Indianapolis game and the Rams playoff game. It's the reason why they got beat. They couldn't stop the run. I mean, who gives up 273 yards rushing, right?
Yeah.
It's a playoff game. And that's been one of their problems. And I still think teams use their aggressiveness against them. You know, they want to get up the field. They want to push, get pressure on the quarterback. And a lot of times they get fooled and screen passes. And they better be ready this weekend because the Patriots are big on throwing to their backs and throwing screen passes.
I know we will obviously could find out more as the week goes along, but any immediate health concerns coming out of that game? Because I got concerned when in the span of a few plays, we lost like half of our starting defenders for half a second. So where are we at health-wise?
Yeah, and you probably didn't want to have both your backup safeties playing on that one possession,
no.
Right?
No!
That got a little thin. So Xavier Woods, he had a dislocated finger. And I think you just kind of yank those things. I'm being too simple now, right? Yank it back in place and get back out there. But that's concerning. Anthony Brown, you know, I heard last night after the game it was an elbow, and I think Jason said this morning it was a tricep. So what you're hoping, it's not the tricep where it attaches close to your elbow, because that would be somewhat serious. And then Lael Collins re-sprained the MCL, same knee. But from what I can tell last night, they were pretty optimistic that he should, you know, with maybe some rest this week, he should get back in and play. And one of the reasons why I think they're optimistic is they know he wants to play and he'll do whatever he needs to do to get back out there and play. So I think those are the ones that I think they were most concerned with. And then, you know, going into the game with Jeff Heath, it's not one shoulder, it's both shoulders. And I think they decided to finally rest him. But I bet people that are picking on Jeff Heath wished he was back out there yesterday afternoon, by the way.
No, we just want Jamal Adams instead.
Yeah,
that's what
well,
we're doing.
You don't want your next two first-round picks, right?
I don't know. After what I saw this weekend, I might. Like, I'm a prisoner of the moment. I would probably cave. I really would.
No, you would do it now, right? And then when it came April 28th, it's like, oh, we don't have a pick again?
Well, that's why I'm sitting here and not in charge of any sports right? franchise, because I would definitely do it.
Because you don't have to be responsible for any of your decisions,
just like I don't,
decisions,
have, to, I don't
right?
have to spend any of the money. I don't have yeah. to write these checks. So that's why I pay everybody.
And you don't get blamed for a loss.
Exactly. It's great.
Yeah, it's a wonderful job.
Really is a fun seat. All right, so the level of play from Michael Gallup, he didn't do that against the Jets. But he did do it this week. How has he grown? What's his development?
Oh, I think he's been awfully good, you know, from the start. I mean, you don't go to college, and I think I remember the number, in 2 years at Colorado State, he had 170 catches. That doesn't happen by accident. And I think a third of those were touchdowns. So he was pretty good. He was a rookie last year, and a lot of times rookies take a while to get going, but he got going that second half of the season. And I could remember when people are asking me who's the breakout guy this year that was a young guy that'll take that next step in his second year, and I said it was Michael Gallup. And unfortunately, you know, he ended up having to have his knee scope 2 games into the season. It missed a couple games, but he's awfully good. And, you know, I was talking on the sideline before the game, when it was way before the official warm-up started. And, you know, I was kind of told that if they use Darius Slay one-on-one on Amari and they're playing single safety high and they're going to try to take Amari out, that we should throw the ball every time to Michael Gallup.
I agree.
Because they had that much confidence in whoever was going to cover him, he could beat him. And they tried covering him in single coverage, and it didn't work. And then if they wanted to help him, then they had to single Cobb, and that didn't work. So, again, you know, they've got some options here in this passing game. If you can protect the quarterback, you know, they can be pretty darn good. And that doesn't even account for 2 touchdowns dumping the ball to the running back, one to Pollard and one to Zeke, who made just a spectacular play on a – you know, you don't think of a 17-yard catch and run spectacular, but anybody can – catch the ball that low to the ground, put it in one hand and kind of pound the football, and then put your other on the ground to get your balance so you can continue running. Just a remarkable play by him. And the same with Pollard, made the safety Walker just whiff with one little shake. And so, yeah, those were 2 things that probably somewhat go unnoticed, but that whole passing attack, when you can give Dak that much time, you're probably going to do a pretty good job throwing the ball.
Excellent stuff as always, good sir. Thank you very much.
Sure thing. Anytime. I can come out of the bullpen.
Oh, nice.
All right.
We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
All right.
That's okay.
See you.
No plan on that.
Mickey Spagnola, brought to you by Ford. Ford is the best in Texas. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, It's time for real. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And on second down, a little read option handoff to Elliott. He fumbled the ball at the 28-yard line. Who got it? The Detroit Lions have recovered Ezekiel Elliott's fumble.
At that moment, how many of you thought the Cowboys were done for yesterday? 877-881-1053. Kevin says he did. I think I tweeted out something like this. Team or something like that, and a lot of people were probably furious at that point because Kevin, this is a trend. You're looking at trends of the past. Could that have been the moment that led to the Cowboys having to come back to win a game? And that's something that you didn't want to have to see against a Detroit Lions team.
You know, I know that was a good tweet. Is because you put two words and I could read all the words in between. Like it could be this effing team, this whatever your curse word of choice is.
Clearly, Garrett didn't have them ready.
But yeah, okay. Now, but I so
I kid. That's a
quality tweet, and I'm glad that the Cowboys, you know, fired back quickly. But at that moment, I kind of put my head down for half a second and thought, oh, this is one of those NFL Sundays. You know, like this is going to be the Jets game all over again when you lose a game to a clearly inferior opponent and we're really sad about it. So I know it took a minute, but luckily by the beginning of the first quarter or the second quarter, you had the lead back. And by the time you got to halftime, it felt like you might be able to put the game away. I know that did not play out exactly like that, but instantaneously I was like, ugh. Here we go.
I wonder if that was the moment that they decided to change the game plan. And we just talked with Travis Frederick about this, and he said, listen, they are specifically designing things to try to stop us up front. Knowing what we can do, knowing what we're capable of, they're saying you're not going to. You're going to have to prove that you can beat us in another way. And I wonder if the Cowboys finally went into the game saying, you know what, okay, if that's how it's going to be, if you're going to not let us do the thing that we're really good at and that we want to establish, then we're going to prove it to you. We know what you're bad at, and we know how to beat you at this. And Detroit has been giving up balls in the air all day long. Yards, 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 touchdowns all day. And we just got the news that Mitch Trubisky is out with a hip pointer.
So he has a bruise.
Yeah, so, but that's, dude, it's tough, man.
Bruises hurt.
Whenever you're dealing with that specific area of your body, let me hit you in the hip pointer.
Yeah. I'd still be able to play at the same level that Mitch Trubisky did.
Oh, man. But you know, he even had 3 touchdowns against Detroit. So I wonder if that was the point, if they went out there and they said, look, that's proof. They were ready for a run. They stopped the run. Not only that, but they forced a turnover. Let's try to change this up and let's go see if Dak can win this thing. And Dak proved it. 444 yards. He had an exceptional day through the air. And the Cowboys got the win because they changed their minds. So, Kevin, as much as the fan base was exhausted by what happened there, because this is another slow start. This is where it all falls apart. They were able to overcome against a bad team. That being said, you are about to go up against the Patriots now.
They're good.
You have to come out with a game plan that says we will not have something like that happen at all. You can't have moments like that. You can't go up against the Patriots and say, you know, we're going to feel things out. You have to attack. You have to strike them early. Kevin, the regular season record since 2018 for the Patriots, 20-6. The regular season.
That's actually, believe it or not, worse than what I thought it would be.
You thought it would be like 24-2, right?
I kind of did,
The regular season record for the Knicks since 2018 is 20-75. So they have the same amount of wins.
Oh,
it just, it means a lot more to the Patriots than the Knicks.
So what I just heard you say is this is going to be the start of an epic losing streak where the Patriots drop 69 straight games.
Whoa.
So they can tie the Knicks.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying
that. You can't say it can't happen, though.
No, but I will say that the Mavericks lost to the Knicks twice this year.
Oh, man.
Could, you want to talk about the Jets game, too?
To give the Knicks 20 wins, essentially. I mean, they only have three wins the whole year.
I mean, seriously.
Could the Cowboys say, we're going to keep that even, baby?
How much has New York sports screwed us over this year? We've lost to the Knicks twice. I'm pretty sure they're 1-10 against the rest of the league.
Beat the Giants twice.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
We lost to the Jets, and then they also didn't trade us Jamal Adams, who went out and went ham on every offensive player who's ever lived. So I hate all of New York sports.
From the 214, the Cowboys will come out conservative. And that's what frightens me.
Yeah.
Is the Patriots are good. Tom Brady's frustrated with their offense right now. And I think that the Cowboys, if they come out in a conservative manner, I think they even came out in a conservative manner on against Detroit until they changed their minds and said, all right, screw it, we're going with it. I think if the Cowboys come out in a conservative way against the Patriots, that's going to spell trouble for them the entire game.
Now
it's already tough enough to get yards against them anyway.
That game, by the way, kickoff 3:25 only here on 105.3 The Fan. Patriots best known the last few years for overcoming a 28-3 deficit. There is a new contender in the 28-3 deficit club. These teams right here.
Brewer wasn't expecting the snap. He's got it. Quick throw out. It is.
Yes.
Intercepted.
He got it
intercepted.
This time.
It was Benito. You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the barn. In Waco, Texas, Lincoln Riley.
Intercepted by the defense.
Took a house in disrepair and refurbished it into their own palace.
All right. That last part
that was
too
extra
forced.
AF.
Because that was a reference to the Gaines family that fixes up the houses in Waco and all that. So that one felt forced. Now, NFL took over yesterday, but all that seemed to matter in the world of sports on Saturday was the injury to Tua and Baylor deciding that they didn't want to be in the college football playoff. Because, man, did that path ever open up for them? I just want to focus on those two particular things because that dominated the world of sports this weekend as well.
The OU game, I think a lot of people are kind of like me, Kevin. Just like that Zeke moment, they said, screw this and turn it off whenever OU was down like 28-3 or whatever.
28-3.
Whenever that moment happened, I was like, I have too many other things I could be doing right now than watching this game and this beating. Because I didn't want to see that kind of a drubbing. But I didn't expect, you know, at that score, I expected them just to continue extending it. And I've never thought that the OU defense was elite by any manner. But they figured something out. They figured enough out to turn that game around. And it turned into an exciting one. And obviously the win there helps. And I know I said a decisive win, or it's going to be a big win, maybe a season turning win for OU to beat Baylor. And everybody's like, really? It's Baylor, but Baylor's 9-0. They were 9-0 at the time, and I feel like that does change some things. Now, I don't know how that changes the standings for the rest of the thing. Though they're what, 8? They're going to be kind of 8 area.
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that because they'll still be behind both Oregon and Utah.
Baylor going to fall out of the top 10 then?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
They weren't in the top 10 to begin with in terms of the college football playoff. They were already 12 or 13, so they're gonna fall.
Have you guys seen the new Baylor logo that they've released?
Is it the Falcons logo in green and yellow?
Yeah.
Yes, I did see that. That is unfortunate, and Baylor fans, I'm sorry. I'm going to make it probably a little bit worse in just a minute.
Sorry, I'm going to tweet it.
So Baylor's second half drive results went like this. Fumble, punt, 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 interception. They did not have one single drive that lasted more than 6 plays. So that is bad.
That's how you draw it up.
But it's not as bad as this. Would you like to hear the most devastating statistic you will hear of any kind day?
Mm-hmm. Do I have to answer? I mean, I'm just going to assume yes.
Okay, good. So at one point, Baylor was ahead 28-3. Since 2005, when trailing by 25 points or more versus a ranked opponent on the road, teams were 1-905.
So,
yikes.
The percentage seems pretty high in favor of them winning that game.
It does. It had happened 906 times before.
All that says there are a bunch of teams that have played really bad teams. Like, how often does this situation happen when two good teams are on the field, right? So that's all it tells me, Kevin.
Okay.
This is why they play the game, guys.
Yeah. Shippy, I'm saying this is mostly why, like, Alabama is probably up at home against, you know, not Appalachian State. Give me the who's
App
the worst
State's
school?
Not bad, man.
Polytech. I don't know.
I always say Nebraska now because they're the worst. Just remember, who told you to take the points on that?
Us.
We did. We said take Baylor and the points. So I know it was a devastating loss, but we did tell you to take Baylor and the points.
Not devastating to me, man.
Devastating victory for you. Now, speaking of Alabama, got to talk about Tua Tagovailoa. Over the weekend, holy freaking smokes. Oh, no. A highlight? This is going to be sad. Let's play it.
Tua being chased from the pocket. He is hit and throws the ball on the near side. It is incomplete along the 30-yard line, and Tua is not getting up. Tua's helmet is off, and he is not getting up.
Now, the immediate concern and the comparison people are making is that he has a similar injury to that of Bo Jackson. He was a dislocated hip, and then I believe...
Oh, he's got a bruised hip, is what you're saying?
No, it was dislocated, and also he suffered a posterior wall fracture. And I know people are going to text it and say he broke his butt.
Yeah, that's
if that makes it easier for you, kind of... So he broke a bone in his posterior hip dislocation. Word is he will not be ready for 6 months.
I did see the report after the surgery, though, Kevin.
It was a success, I'm guessing,
right? The procedure
went
as planned, and he's resting comfortably. Tua's prognosis is excellent, and we expect him to make a full recovery.
Come on! Okay, this is the dumbest thing in all of sports. When have you ever seen a post-surgery report where the doctor or the hospital or whoever's like, oh my God, it was a mess. Like, we didn't expect any of this. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to play again.
Oh, Kevin.
I want to be the first and be like, oh,
it went poorly.
Things went pretty bad. It might be worse.
I'm gonna guess that this is right after the surgery. He was reportedly screaming in pain.
Oh
no, when he was being removed from the field. Never mind. Sorry about that, guys. It was when he was being taken off the field, he was screaming in pain.
Dude. All right. So
he's done, right?
Well, that was going to be my question. People have asked, what's this going to do to his draft stock? So I ask you this. Will Tua be as much of an NFL flop as former number one draft pick Bo Jackson? Because if you've never heard this,
I have a long-standing,
pretty much, it's not even an opinion, it's essentially a fact, that Bo Jackson is the biggest disappointment in the history of the NFL.
I don't know why you try to do this to Bo Jackson all the time. 877-881-1053. If you think that Kevin's unwarranted shots at Bo Jackson are necessary.
Bo Jackson was a number one overall draft pick, never ran for 1,000 yards. He ran for more than 700 yards one time. That sounds pretty bad if you were a number one draft pick.
Did you never see Pro Stars? the cartoon with him.
Did you ever play Tecmo Bowl?
Yeah, man.
Oh, he was the best on Tecmo Bowl, but that was a work of fiction.
Kevin, you know why?
Because he always stayed in the game.
No, I was projecting. You know?
Pro Stars had Bo Jackson, Michael Jordan, and Wayne Gretzky in a cartoon.
It's ridiculous. How did Bo Jackson get in that group?
Shippy, would you say that Wayne Gretzky is the GOAT of hockey?
Yeah.
All right.
He said the kid is making a push, but yeah, Wayne Gretzky's still the great.
And Kevin, I know how you feel about Michael Jordan, especially in that movie Space Jam, where he made one bet for the entire, like, his entire world to live.
I mean, that sounds like something Michael Jordan would do. That's essentially what got him kicked out of the NBA.
And then there's Bo Jackson. two-sport athlete. It's amazing. I don't know why you do this to him the time.
But that's the thing. It's like, if you analyze it more, it wasn't amazing at either one of those things when it came to the pros.
From the 817, you just mad because you couldn't win as Bo and Tecmo Bowl. My buddy's an idiot. From the 214, I think Brian Bosworth was the biggest flop.
But he was only the number two pick.
From the 562, no, Jackson was a beast. And from the 520, Kevin is a jackass. I don't think that's necessary. I think that just comes in every hour. I think somebody sends that every
hour.
That
wasn't even about Bo Jackson. Oh, yeah. No, but like, and I'll stand firm to Bo Jackson. I know everyone likes to project what he would have been, but here's the fact. He was in the NFL and never ran for 1,000 yards as a former number one pick. Those are just facts. You can hate on it all you like. But, I mean, Marion Barber had more 1,000-yard seasons than he did.
You remember that
what about
one?
Jamarcus Russell?
You remember that time he defended Nolan Ryan whenever Robin Ventura ran out there to punch him?
Oh, yeah.
He hit Nolan Ryan in the mouth with a baseball, and you know what he did? He ran out there to see if he was okay. He didn't even care. That's kind of human that Bo Jackson is, Kevin.
Yeah, because it was unnecessary because Nolan Ryan didn't need his care. So, in all actuality, I really am curious, how much is this going to affect to his draft stock?
It will.
And
definitely, man. Absolutely it should. And I saw somebody asking if Jalen Hurts is now moving up into the end of the first round. And I feel like, seriously, more and more that you look at it, people are going to start saying, is Jalen Hurts going to be considered for the number one overall pick, especially now that Tua's been hurt?
I still think that Justin Herbert from Oregon is going to move into that. His exposure would go off the charts if they were able to beat Utah in the Pac-12 championship game and he gets into the college football playoff. I think his stock would really rise there. But it's a fair question.
Well, and I mean, go back. Baker was not expected to be number one overall.
That's true.
Kyler, there were so many question marks about, you know, size. So I do wonder if when Jalen Hurts wins his Heisman, it's just going to have to be a considered thing. Somebody said, I don't see why Kevin can't bring up Bo Jackson. Corey brings up Game 6 every other day.
That is a good point.
I didn't bring that up.
I'm going to start wearing a sports cup.
For the record, I never said that Bo Jackson sucked. I said, as a number one overall draft pick, he was overrated. You can save me all of the negotiation and the baseball and the blibbity blabbity. Here's what I said. He was a number one former overall draft pick who never ran for 1,000 yards. Those are facts.
Neither did Vince Young.
He was saving it for the playoffs.
But he didn't play running back.
Did Vince Young run for 1,000 yards?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll calm everything down by talking about Colin Kaepernick. He put on a show Saturday. Was it a strong arm show or a clown show? 877-881-1053. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, and Shippy. We're all hanging out in studio this afternoon. It's a wonderful day for you as you're driving around after your lunch break here. The biggest topic of the weekend, heading into the weekend, over the weekend, and it's up there today as well, was Colin Kaepernick's workout and the opportunity to talk to or to see some owners and say, he even said, you know, in his tweet, I can't wait to see all the GMs and coaches out there. And how many GMs and coaches were there, Kevin?
I think it was not none because it was on a Saturday, but they had representatives from a ton of teams.
So representatives there to check everything out. About an hour before the workout, they moved the location of the workout, said, hey, come over here. We're going to do it over there. He didn't know what he was going to run through. He didn't know the routes he was going to run through beforehand. Didn't know the receivers he was going to work with beforehand either. And as he's out there, they're just telling him to go. And he got an opportunity to show what else is there. The things that I've seen so far, Kevin, say big arm still, which he always had a big arm.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think every GM and coach can always say is, man, if you got a big arm and you can make some throws, let's go after it. There were some people that said that there was no touch on the deep ball. And, you know, if you have a big arm, you're throwing the deep ball, you better have the ability to hit those guys deep. And then, you know, some other things like footwork and stuff like that. He's in good shape still, so that's a positive. But then afterwards, he had an opportunity to talk. And if anybody ever thought going into this that the NFL was making this a PR stunt, I wonder what Colin Kaepernick's thought was whenever he had his opportunity to talk, because this is what he said.
I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came out here, showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, the 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. We're out here. We're ready to play. We're ready to go anywhere. My agent, Jeff Nally, is ready to talk to any team. I interview with any team at any time. I've been ready. I'm staying ready. And I'll continue to be ready.
All right, a few things there. Now he's ready to go to any team. So what he said wasn't exactly honest. Is you weren't denied for 3 years. Seattle offered you a spot on the team, and you said, I don't want to be a backup, and turned it down. So, and he has every right to do that, obviously. If he thinks he needs to be a starter, then fair enough. But I don't think then he should say he was denied, because he denied himself that opportunity. I also think he's going to end up denying himself the opportunity this go around. If you think he wasn't likely to be signed anyway, fair enough. But there were 23 to 26 teams there. Then what happened was he decided we're going to move. And so most teams didn't follow him. So he moved, it sounds like he moved it about an hour away to a local high school instead of at the Falcons facility, because he wanted to control the narrative. And because of that, then only 8 teams followed him over there, because it's not like he's good enough to deal with like a certain level of drama. And he's been out of the league for 3 years. He could probably come in and be a backup. I'm not here to dispute that at all, but how much drama are you going to put up with for a backup player? And if it includes him ditching out of his job interview and saying, no, we're going to do it on my terms, that's probably not a good sign. The teams I know that were Kansas City, the Jets, Philadelphia, Tennessee, San Francisco, Washington, and Detroit. There was one other. I'd originally heard Buffalo was linked with it, and Buffalo's like, we weren't there. So I think there was one other team there. I'm not entirely sure who it was, though. So just straight out of the gate, his decision to move from the Falcons facility to an hour down the road and the high school, all of a sudden he had 23 to 26 options that dropped to 8. Now, Jerry Jones was on with us, and he said, we will get the videotape. We can watch the videotape. So maybe the options are still at 32. But I would think that's not a good look for somebody who people are worried, whether you think it's fair or not, people are worried that he brings a lot of baggage with him and that it's going to cause a lot of media that you don't want. And when you pull a move like this, that probably doesn't help that narrative.
Yeah. And when you say media that you don't want, I struggle to find out what that means, because you can turn media into whatever you want, right?
I kind of think I don't know if everybody feels
that way.
There's
no way to change the narrative of a subject. You know we can.
Sure.
And not we, but everybody has the ability to turn the subject into a different direction. The sometimes the other side has too strong of a voice, and there's no way to change that, right? Like, because no matter what you say, no matter what there is, there's going to be discourse between the two sides. I feel, though, that if anybody truly wanted to make some change and anybody truly wanted to support a message that he has, they would. And I understand the circus, because the questions are going to be there. I remember sitting at Tony Romo's locker room, or at his locker, every week, Kevin. The Tony Romo locker was impossible to get into, because there were 150 media members there just waiting for a question. I had to hang from the back of Tony Romo's locker to get audio for the station. And the same thing goes on with Dak. And I can just imagine if it was the Cowboys brand combined with Colin Kaepernick, it would be impossible. Everybody would be here for every single day. But I truly think that if an organization wanted to put the time and effort in with him, they have to feel like the results they're going to get in return are going to be worth it, right? Because is this dude ever even going to play? Would we ever do this for another backup quarterback?
No.
And that's the thing, is I don't think that they think that part of it is going to be worth it. I also don't know exactly where his, you know, what his intention was on Saturday. But even if Jay-Z is saying that he's disappointed, that he turned the real workout into a publicity stunt, then that's kind of a concern, right? Because, hey, man, I pushed for this. Jay-Z pushed for it. Hey, I want you to give him an opportunity to get out there. Is he giving him that opportunity to go out and reaffirm the message that he previously had? Or say, now I'm ready to move in a new direction with this. But what he did was he called out the guys that were saying we'd like to give you an opportunity for a job, or at least putting on the show that they would like to give him an opportunity for a job. Because I don't know if they really did or not. Like I feel like that was kind of, hey, go out there and do your thing, and then what did he do? That's exactly what we thought he'd do. He'd take a shot at us after we gave him a chance. And so now they have all the reason and all the right to be like, well, we can move on from here.
Now, some people are saying, well, you guys haven't brought up the reason why he moved. I did bring up the reason why he moved. The reason I think that he moved is because, to Corey's point, I think he 100% achieved what he wanted. He wanted to get publicity. I don't think he does want to play. He wanted to get publicity. I think that's what he accomplished.
For his Nikes that are coming out next month?
Just for him personally.
Because he was wearing those Nikes that are coming out next month.
Absolutely. And so people are saying, well, he moved it because the NFL wouldn't let him bring in his own camera crew. Yeah, that's how tryout works. No player in the NFL that goes to tryout for any team is allowed to bring in their own camera crew.
No player in the NFL gets the opportunity to try out for all 32 teams in one place either.
And when they do at the combine, guess what? The NFL also controls the video of that. So let's not pretend that's a Kaepernick-only thing. The other thing
was a Kaepernick-only thing, though. This was a Kaepernick-only thing. It was given just for one guy to get a chance.
The other thing people are bringing up was the waiver. Now, the NFL, I didn't actually see the waiver, but the NFL is bringing up that it was a standard liability waiver that they said they use at all the NFL combines and NFL clubs use when trying out free agent players. So there was disagreement about the language in the waiver. Look, if you think that the NFL is trying to keep him out of professional football, I'm not here to say that's 100% untrue. But I also don't think that Colin Kaepernick makes it any easier whatsoever. And let's not pretend that everybody listening right now hasn't done things for a job interview that they wouldn't normally do. We've all prepped for a job interview in a manner, whether it's the way you dress, what you say, or whatever, that is different than the way you would normally act. You do not get to just act however you want and expect no repercussions. So he's at least somewhat liable for this. And now people are saying, well, it's a waiver. No one in the history of football has ever signed. That is not what the NFL said. And Kaepernick says that's the way it is. So who do you believe? If you already believe Kaepernick, then you probably also still think it is it's not necessarily a political situation, but it feels political. If you already believe Kaepernick going into this, you think the NFL is the evil corporation that kept him down. If you already believe that Kaepernick was a punk going into this, you probably think the exact same thing, that he just wants attention. I don't think anyone's mind was changed. The unfortunate thing about that is if he wanted to play football, I think he could have had the opportunity based on this. You would just have to suck it up a little bit. Welcome to the real world where we all have to kind of suck it up sometimes to get what we want.
Yeah. Well, and you know, everybody takes a different approach in things, Kevin. And I think the people he was working with were like, we don't want the guy to go out there and say, okay, NFL, whatever you want. The people he was working with were like, you can't. And I think he felt very strongly that he couldn't just cave in and give in on certain things that he wanted, that the NFL wanted just so that he could have the job. I think that he continued to say, I'm going to be this kind of a guy to fight for this. Now, I always think that the platform allows you bigger opportunities, bigger chances to say something important. And I don't know, but I don't also haven't seen Michael Bennett's platform work here with the Cowboys yet. Robert Quinn's playing right now. What else can he do? Eric Reed's playing for Carolina. What else can he add to it? I really do hope that there's another opportunity for people to turn messages and work together on things, though. And that's just the way I see it, is if you have the platform, use it. He did. He just did.
To use it for bringing people together?
And
No, I'm asking. I wasn't sure if that was what you were saying.
Because no, he
it's almost impossible to bring society together nowadays.
He used it as an opportunity to raise some better understanding on some situations. And it got turned into something that I don't think it ever really was.
It's really interesting to see some of the responses here. Some are ready to have an absolute conversation. Some are saying I'm wrong, and that's fine. You don't have to agree with me. Even Chris Arnold just says he thinks that my information is incomplete. And I have a feeling that whatever side you're on, you're going to argue that the other person's information is incomplete. But the inability to have a conversation on this is problematic. Like, you can absolutely have a conversation about it, and I don't think that people should be scared to have that conversation. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how about some more gridiron gravy? But seriously, why is Denver and Richard Sherman so terrible? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.